It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Martin, good morning. We see manganese making news. Tell us a bit about that and the South African link.
You know, this manganese is a hardy annual. We've got 80% of the world reserves and only 15% of the market. You know, that is a mismatch. We're losing out. Our opportunity loss is huge. And it's all around discussing logistics, rail, which way is it going to go? Only exporting about 4 million tonnes at the moment. Want to go to 12 million tonnes or 16 million tonnes? There's scope for that in the market. There's big demand for steel in which this manganese is used. And there's an outlook of growing demand. So we should be doing something, but we continue to discuss the rail. And, you know, this is not getting us anywhere. Now, the debate is hotting up as to whether we should go to the Coega port, the Deep River port, or whether we should go to Saldanha. The industry seems to favour Saldanha. Transnet is new voice now back, the newly reinstated Siyabonga Gama. He seems to favour Coega. So we're back to where we started. And, you know, we're losing time on this. So I would say that South Africa actually needs a good decision on which way it's going to go, because the manganese story is becoming the saddest mining story that we've got, and we don't really add value to it. Perhaps if we go the Coega route, there could be some value addition with ferromanganese smelter at the Coega port, but we need a heavy haul line there. And I think the Western Cape is as anxious in its new IDZ to get it at Saldanha. So the fight is on, but who's going to win it? We don't know.
Well, moving from the sad news to what I suppose would be good news or happy news in terms of South Africa's gold and diamond mining.
Yes, you know, we've got some fantastic expertise in gold and diamond mining, and we should take it into Africa, because a lot of the times the Australians and the Canadians beat us at that. But one person who hasn't been beaten at all, that is Dr. Mark Bristow from Randgold Resources. That's listed on the London Stock Exchange, but we can remember well how he formed it here in the mid-90s in Selby down the road from Joburg. And he's built three mines already, three gold mines in Africa. He built Marilla, which is a starting point, which became a golden gorilla, really, in Mali, and then Lulo. And he went into Tongon at the height of the war and never missed a beat there. He read that political situation so well. And now right into the Congo, he's going to build the biggest one ever. That is the Kibali mine. It's 10 billion rand investment, and it's going to be about as big as our Blaafontein mine. And we're talking about a big gold mine. So that is the gold story from the South Africans. And also, South Africans are becoming very involved in this diamond mine in Sierra Leone, the Kudu expansion. That's the Koidu expansion in Sierra Leone. Again, a billion rand project. And even, you know, companies like Boerters and Kennedy, a small company from the Northern Cape involved in civil engineering and contracting, they're up there doing work. That is developed by Benny Steinmetz, who's got contacts in South Africa and currently owns the Bateman Group, but there might be a change of ownership there. But that group also does a lot of beneficiation of diamonds in South Africa. So again, South African involvement in Sierra Leone and also in the Democratic Republic of Congo with gold.
While we're on the topic of other African countries, let's take a look at Botswana. Do you think at some point that it's going to grow into a new regional energy hub?
You know, we associate Botswana with diamonds. That country's been too connected to diamonds, and it knows it's got to diversify. And now we see a new dawn glimmer, and it's around coal and coal gas and even sun. And it's fantastic to see the entrepreneurial energy that's being spent there as these young foreign investors come in, particularly from the Australian side and listed on the Australian Stock Exchange, turning the coal opportunity to account, you know, firming up how much coal is there. And there are 212 billion, you know, tons of coal there. There's a lot of energy possibility. And with India now importing lower grade coal, it's opening up a new paradigm. But there is some very exciting thinking from our own Exxaro, listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. You know, they're talking about a combined baseload station that will involve solar power, and it'll also involve coal gas. And not the coal exactly, but coal bed methane, where there's a lot of coal bed methane natural gas in Botswana. So he's saying, you know, the protagonist of this project from Exxaro, Tom Garner, is saying, look, we could have the generation in the day of solar power, and at night we could use this natural gas, which is the carbon bed methane. So you lower your carbon footprint, you know, dramatically, and you're able to export this electricity into the region. And we know that Botswana is poised now to become a possible, in the future, net exporter of electricity into the region, and the region needs that. If the government can get its infrastructure right and needs that Trans-Kalahari line and also another rail line towards Beira and possibly Maputo, if we can get that, plus its energy, and we can see it building up its power grid there, the transmission line development is coming through, plus new power stations, this could well, Botswana could become the energy jewel of the South African development community, Southern African development community.
Would or could South Africa benefit in a tangible way from this?
Well, South Africa has spurned their offering so far. We see a lot of people that have come across just close to the border of South Africa, and they said, we will give you energy over the fence, but it's the price at which we want to sell it that becomes a negotiating point with Eskom. And so far, Eskom has sort of moved away from these what we call IPPs, independent power producers, but they are convinced that there will be a time when this region that's going to be short of energy is going to be crying out for that energy for them. So they're not only looking at exporting the coal, but they're also looking at power station potential and even Sasol type coal to liquid opportunities.
Interesting news indeed, Martin. We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us once again on AM Live. Martin Creamer is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back at the coalface at the same time again next Friday.